So last week we talked about this same beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. And today I want to build on what God was saying to us in another translation, which is the one you find on the front of your bulletin today, is happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. Where I want us to put our hearts before the Lord this morning is considering how to take those first steps into one or two areas of our lives that Jesus wants to help bring greater healing and wholeness to. They could be areas of hurts, hang-ups, or habits. It could be some sin that's distracting us, but there are things that hold us back from more fully following Him within our lives. We made a couple of distinctions last week that I want to make sure that we are still clear about. The first one is this: Jesus earned our salvation. So when we talk about hungering and thirsting, it is not our price in order for us to be saved. All we are asked to do is to open our hearts and accept what Jesus has done for us. The second is connected to that, and it's this: God is crazy in love with you. There is nothing that you will ever do that will make Him love you any more or make Him love you any less. So however we say it, hunger and thirsting for righteousness, or having our greatest desire to be what God requires, we are not talking about doing things to make God love us more. However, what it is about is us making more room in our hearts for God's love to live and to grow. And so last week we gave out the gift of My Heart, Christ's Home. And if you didn't get one of these, I have more by the door. See me on your way out, or if you want to grab one to give away. But I want to share the end of this book. You know, somebody warned me last week, you're not supposed to give out the plot. So if you didn't get to it yet, I'm going to totally give out the plot, because we're going to read the very end of it together here. And the reason I want to do it is because I think it really helps us to understand, you know, we say Jesus is our Savior and Lord, but we don't live in a day with kings and lords and Caesars. And so I think we can be a little bit removed from what it really means to have a Lord in our life. And I think the way that the author talks about handing over the title of our homes that are our hearts to God is a really good modern parable to maybe help us understand, well, what does this look like to have Jesus be our Lord? And so this is from the last part of the booklet called Transferring the Title. Then a thought came to me. I said to myself, I've been trying to keep this heart of mine clean and available for Christ, but it is hard work. I start on one room, and no sooner have I cleaned it than I discover another room is dirty. I begin on the second room, and then the first is already dusty again. I'm getting tired trying to maintain a clean heart and an obedient life. I am just not up to it. Anybody relate to that? Suddenly I asked, Lord, is there a possibility that you would be willing to manage the whole house and operate it for me just as you did that closet? Could I give you the responsibility of keeping my heart what it ought to be and myself doing what I ought to be doing? I could see his face light up as he replied, I'd love to. This is exactly what I came to do. You can't live the Christian life in your own strength. That is impossible. Let me do it for you and through you. That is the only way it will really work. But, he added slowly, I'm not the owner of this house. Remember, I'm here as your guest. I have no authority to take charge since this property is not mine. In a flash, it all became clear. Excitingly, I exclaimed, Lord, you have been my guest, and I have been trying to play the host. From now on, you are going to be the owner and master of this house, and I am going to be the servant. running as fast as I could to the strong box. I took out the title deed to the house, describing its assets and liabilities, its condition, location, and situation. Then rushing back to him, I eagerly signed it over, giving title to him alone for time and eternity. Dropping to my knees, I presented it to him. Here it is, all that I am and have forever. Now you run the house. Just let me stay with you as your houseboy and friend. He took my life that day, and I can give you my word. There is no better way to live the Christian life. He knows how to keep it and use it. A deep peace settled down on my soul that has remained, and I am his, and he is mine forever. May Christ settle down and be at home as your Lord of your heart also. Jesus is Lord of our lives when we hand our lives over to him. Jesus doesn't want to just be Lord of parts of our lives. He doesn't simply want to be involved in the places that we already have things figured out and healthy, but he wants to walk with us in every area of our lives. So we show Jesus that he is Lord when we walk in partnership with God in not only celebrating the good things, but in working through our heart's brokenness as well. Our scripture holds a light to the truth of our hearts that we've read this morning. And while it may not be comfortable, it is a key if we are to understand the deep blessing that God has for us when we do and have our greatest desire being what God requires of us. And so again, we heard in 1 John 1 this morning. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claimed we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. I think we have rightly understood that God has a problem with the sin that is in each of our lives, but I don't know that we always know what we should do with that. I think our natural reaction is too often to want to hide our area of sinfulness, being embarrassed even before God about some of these things. Or we keep it in the closet and we only want to deal with the positive stuff in our prayer lives and with the Christians that we are journeying with, and we don't want to interact with God around the things that we are worried or know that have a negative impact on our faith. But that isn't embracing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to save us just in our goodness. He doesn't just want the goody two-shoe parts of our lives. He wants the whole thing. Jesus wants to be right there with us in the middle of our brokenness, just as he wants to be in the middle of our health. And so we hear the invitation. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. But this is probably where we are all too often tempted to stop, and we kind of got this far last week. But true health is not just acknowledging that we have junk in a closet somewhere that we'd like Jesus to take care of. It's not that we simply should just say, well, Jesus, forgive me, and give him a list of our junk and then just forget about it. That would be like if I asked my kids, is your room a mess? And they said, yes. And I said, okay, that's all I need to know. And let them go on living in a pigsty. That wouldn't be the best thing for them. That wouldn't be me as a parent helping them to walk in health. There's work to be done after the confession. And when Jesus is really Lord in our hearts, we find the deeper blessing of what God really wants to be up to in our lives. Before we talk just a little bit more about that, I need to add something to this as well. That we're not only talking about sin in our lives. In addition to the sin that we can bring before God and find healing in wholeness, I believe Jesus also invites us to put before him the things that we need to deal with deep in our hearts. We can apply this line of thinking and way of walking with God to all manner of brokenness in our lives. So it might be a difficult relationship, grief that we are walking through, hard situations at school or work, even a great trauma that we have experienced that was of no fault of our own. When we hunger and thirst for what Jesus most wants in our lives, that centers around the healing work he is so desperate to see happen in each of our lives. Whether that's sin forgiven, hurts healed, relationships restored, Jesus is Lord and doesn't just want us to acknowledge these things, but he wants to walk with us to bring us healing and transformation in these deep places in our lives. Transformation cannot be done on our own. What we read here this morning reminds us of that this is a work we need to fully trust God with. We have the help of Jesus to walk through these things. And God's goal in transformation is not to destroy us, as hard as it often is to take the first step into those areas that hurt the most in our lives, but God's goal is to bring us the greatest health possible. So Jesus wants to start sometimes with just a small issue to kind of get these muscles working. He doesn't necessarily always say, well, we need to deal with all of our sin or all of our hurts or all of our brokenness. So this is why it's so important to be in prayer, as we consider those areas of our lives that we know aren't where God would want them to be. There certainly may be times where the Spirit says, well, let's look at this big one. But let this be a work of prayer as we reflect on the hurts and the brokenness in our lives and ask, Jesus, what should we look at now? Transformation cannot be done on your own, and we pointed at this last week, but not only is Jesus with us, but it's important to have at least one other somebody to share these things with as we are doing this work. In particularly in some of the bigger things that we may need to walk through and seek God for healing, you may need a few somebodies. I know that in my own life, there have been weeks when I have talked with my counselor, my spiritual director, my mentor, my wife, my friends, and my accountability group, in addition to talking to Jesus. And in those weeks, it's easy to get overwhelmed and say, I need a lot of help. But in doing that, in seeking that, in finding Christ in the midst of those relationships, healing does come more fully, more deeply than if we simply try to work on these things on our own. God works within those types of relationships, within our small groups, in our conversation with those that we know we can trust with matters of our faith, to help us understand his forgiveness and more deeply experience his blessing of healing. I think it's also important for us as we think about deeper healing and what God may be up to in our lives to understand that the work of grace is often slow in the way that it is loving. When it has taken years for us to develop our hurts or our hang-ups or our habits, God does not often pull those things out completely at once. Because again, he is looking to bring us the greatest healing and wholeness to our lives. And so sometimes that is a much slower process than what we think it should be. But God gives us provision in victory one day at a time. We've already prayed it today. But in that prayer that Jesus gave us, we say, give us this day what? Our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. And so the question that we should put before the Lord is, what is God wanting to journey with you on today? Not what are all the things that I need to put before God and I need attention and I need healing or forgiveness, but it's good to have those lists and to be reflective enough to know just how much work God may be needing to do with us. But today, on this day, God, what is the provision that you have as I take this next step? What victory today will you give me over this sin or this hurt that I might begin to step forward into health and transformation? We don't have to clean out the closets all at once. And His grace is certainly not waiting for us to get fixed before we open our hearts to Him. God's grace is waiting for us to say, Lord, here I am, messy closets and all. What do you want to do in and with me today? The first step is admitting our need. Transformation and healing comes when we trust Jesus to be Lord in every area of our life and trust that He will help us walk in the next steps towards healing in wholeness. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank you for the way that you are with us today and that you walk and look to bless us. Lord, it is natural for us to want to focus on the positive and only look at the ways that we've already grown and want to minimize and put aside the brokenness or the sin. So we thank you for your good news, that you don't just love some of us, but that you love all parts of who we are, and that in your grace and in your love, Lord, if we openly welcome you, even into the tough places in our lives, that your grace and love will shine with us and provide us today what we need to be transformed, taking that next step to wholeness in life. So thank you for that. And meet us here in this place in the ways that we need to know you on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.